I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at CareerCycles.com and founder of One Life Tools. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz, Canada's unique podcast conversation that enriches lives, empowers careers, and energizes organizations.
From education to agriculture to politics, and from Montreal to Vancouver to Ottawa to Toronto to Prince Edward County, Ontario, Hélène LeBlanc has had a roller coaster of a career ride. As a member of Parliament, Hélène was chair of the Standing Committee on the Status of Women and vice chair of the Standing Committee of Industry, Science and Technology. After leaving politics after the 2015 election, Hélène searched for new adventures. So lots going on, lots of new things going on. What do you like about what's happening in your career these days?
A lot of things, because like you say, it's an adventure. When you embark in a new path, it's a new adventure in your life. I must say, though, it's not all rosy, because when we've met, having a difficult time adjusting to life after politics. And if you speak to some people that have been in the same situation as me, a candidate for re-election, and then not to get elected, I was talking to one of my colleagues recently. It's like you feel like you've been fired. And it gave me perspective of how people feel when that happened to them. Either they get laid off or they get fired. What do you do? It's part of yourself that sort of dies a bit. And you go through a grieving process. And I think that's what I went through a grieving process. And during that grieving process, you don't see where your next adventure is. Really, you don't see it because you're depressed, you feel negative, you feel that you can't contribute anymore. It's very difficult. I have found that.
It's good empathy with all those people in Canada. The world of work is very changing and volatile now. And so there's an empathy. It's a different kind of career transition than most people have. But just the fact that that's happening, and it happens over and over again, and people go through cycles of stability and change. So let's save the reveal for what happened. Let's kind of step back and hear a little bit about what happened in your career story, and then we'll get to this very next
step.
So just stepping back a bit, I mean, I know you've had quite a roller coaster of a career, as I said in the intro, and you went to school a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
So can you share with listeners, like, there was two parts of your kind of education, each of which led to different kinds of careers. And so that's sort of the early story that led up to you becoming a member of Parliament. So what happened back there? What did you choose and why?
It's quite interesting because my first choice when I was a teenager was to go into agriculture. But the school where I went to directed me, as should be, through pure science, because to get an agriculture university degree, that was the path to go to college for pure science. And then and it didn't turn out very well. It was not exactly the agriculture I was thinking. I was thinking I wanted to work with cows and horses and things like that. So eventually I went into a degree in education. And that was a great diploma because I'm a good communicator. So that was a good fit. My mother was a teacher and it was a good fit. But, I worked in education, but being in the classroom was not what I really wanted to do, because I found the classroom setting a bit limiting. Nevertheless, it helped me teach French as a second language in Vancouver and then in Ottawa. But after a few years in teaching French as a second language, or doing a lot of supply teaching, I must say, like replacement, I was a little bit tired with that career path. So I went as an educator, you might have guessed, at the Museum of Agriculture in Ottawa.
Nice combo. So you brought the interest that you had had earlier, as you said, in agriculture and farm and farm animals, and you somehow weaved in the communication and education, which is great. I mean, so many people are looking to transfer their skills, and I find that people have a limiting imagination. You know, gee, I'm a teacher, I can only be a teacher. I'm a doctor, I can only be a doctor. But of course, there's so many transferable skills.
Exactly.
It's just scary to leave. How did you react, and how did your friends and family react when you left what looked like kind of a stable, normal career? And it's like, what, you're going to leave teaching and do something different?
Yes, actually, I was lucky because I was at that time kind of like my own master. And I lived very frugally. So I was able to do that transition. But you're right, it was kind of a... I don't know. I that transition to me worked well because as a supply teacher, I was not a regular teacher. As I was also teaching French in the public service, so I was already a kind of a self-employed type of person. So I was not locked in with a regular salary
and benefits and
things like
that.
So, and I was always, I must say, Mark, avoiding that. So to me, to transition to, yes, it was right, it was a little bit less secure and things like that, but actually when you close a door, there's others that opens. And that job at the museum, first of all, was still education, but outside of a classroom with a subject that I just adored. And then it opened the door to the Museum of Science and Technology. So I did that for 7 years. But then life happened as well. And in 2000, I had a real life-changing experience. My son passed away in 2000. And then my life was really shattered because he had been with me for 16 years. He was he had special needs, and I took care of him that 16 years. And so you kind of, what do you do? But you cannot change your life tipsy-turvy. So I stayed in at the museum, self-employed, and worked for 4 years. But after 4 years, I needed a change of place, a change of attitude as well. So that's when I moved to Montreal.
Just on that part of the story, you know, it's so we've had other guests who have had big either personal health scares or somebody in their family is ill or dies. And anything that you can share with listeners from that experience, going back to 2000, it's a number of years ago, but when something devastating like that happens and you're in a job, you know, what's the best way to deal with that? Do you just, you know, do you speak to your employer? Did you take time off? Do you don't make any change for a while because there's so many other personal crises going on? What can you share with listeners about the perspective and dealing with stuff like that?
You know, that's a very good point. To me, my work was my buoyed, you know, like a lifesaver.
A lifesaver.
Yeah, a lifesaver. It was my lifesaver. But the thing is, I returned to work intensively right after. And at one point, I kind of had a little bit of a crash, and I had to take some time off and really take care of myself. But I still continue on, and I was able to adjust because I was self-employed. I was able to adjust my schedule accordingly, and then. But I did go back to work right away, and sometimes it may not be the right way. But for me, it was imperative that I had to change and use my time in a certain way. In 2002, though, I don't know if I mentioned that to you. I think I did. In 2002, I answered an ad in the paper again there was this organization in Montreal that was looking for people to accompany people that had Alzheimer, so that their loved one could take
some time off. Some respite.
And to me, that was very important. I had been a loved one to take care of a loved one for 16 years. I had all this experience, and I felt that I needed to be able to transfer that experience by helping this organization. So in 2002, I went and worked with this organization. It was I had some training, and then the way it was working, it's a great organization. It's called Baluchon Alzheimer. And what we do is we go with our Baluchon, which is kind of our luggage, our little luggage, and we go and stay in the house of the person that has Alzheimer. For 24 hours, the principal caregiver is there helping us with the routine, and then you stay with the person that has Alzheimer by yourself with them, and you write a journal. So the person, when the caregiver comes back, she has a journal of what we observe and what we did and things like that.
Wow, that's a wonderful thing. Do you know if there's something like that in Toronto for people who are listening here in the Toronto area? I know there's the Alzheimer's Society.
Yeah, the Alzheimer's Society may have organization that does similar things, but I did some in Ottawa. So we were branching out a little bit in Ottawa. But if people, we could leave, it's Baluchon Alzheimer, but the society, Alzheimer Society would know. But that helped me tremendously during my grieving process, because the person that had Alzheimer helped me so much in my growth, in growing and going through the process. It was just an experience that was unbelievable. I did it from 2002 to 2008.
Wow. Thanks for telling us about that. And it's so interesting to see how that kind of work helped with your personal and professional life. So, Hélène, there was a few more twists and turns before you entered politics, I know. So what happened there? I know there was back to school. There was a couple of other jobs before joining the party and becoming a member of parliament. So what happened? What were the twists and turns
that
led you there?
Okay, so the twist and turn in 2004, I went back to school, which was a great way to focus for... It was actually for my 50th birthday. I wanted a diploma in the science of agriculture and environment.
Going back to what you were so interested in as
a
teenager.
Exactly. I said when I was 46, I said, if I don't do it now, I will never do it. And it was a great gift because it was unbelievable. And also to have to work in teams with young people, I have good friends still with my colleague at the agriculture. And what is interesting is I worked afterwards for 3 years in agriculture and environment, because now we know the impact of agriculture, especially intensive agriculture, on the quality of air, soil, and water. I was in school from 2004 to 2008. It's full time. It's like going in the order, like you know, sort of your mind and totally encompassing into the study. Like it's a full time
yes.
thing. But then when you graduate, I had a lot of time. The municipal election was coming up in 2009, and I said I have to get involved. Politics in Montreal are totally very interesting. It's always interesting. And I looked for a party because they have a party system in the city of Montreal. So I looked for a party for which I would become a volunteer. And there was this young party called Projet Montréal, and I became a volunteer. But then they were desperately looking for candidates. So I says, well, if you don't have anybody else, I'll be a candidate. And then I was hooked. I did the campaign, a very modest campaign, but just working as a team, working with a party was very exciting. And I didn't get elected. But it was just, I stayed involved with Because to me, politics is a way to put ideas into action. And when you are in the action, it's so exciting. So in 2011, I was still involved with Projet Montréal. The NDP approached me, the NDP, which was a totally unknown entity in Quebec.
Until the Orange Wave in that election.
Until the Orange Wave and Jack Layton. So I got elected in 2011. I campaigned. Again, a very nice thing. Totally not expecting to be elected, because if you know, I was in La Salle-Aymar, which was Mr. Paul Martin, former Prime Minister of Canada, former riding for 20 years. And after that, there was another MP, but there was no chance at all that an NDP would get elected there. But it happened.
No chance at all.
No chance.
So I remember that election, and so many people were so surprised across the province of Quebec, and all these NDP folks got elected, and it was Jack Layton. I mean, he was my MP in Toronto, where I am, in Toronto Danforth. So, you know, I met him and knew him, and he had such a big influence on the party and on Canada before he died. And
it was so
influential.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable, and Jack was so loved.
I'm Mark Franklin, and you're listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Career Buzz is brought to you by Career Cycles. Take inspired action toward making well-informed career and life choices. Go to careercycles.com to learn about professional one-on-one career management programs using a story listening approach to career counseling. If you're a helping professional looking to scale up career management, visit onelifetools.com to learn about the Who You Are Matters game and online storyteller.
How did it happen that your name got put forward on that NDP
slate? The second time, because I was still involved with Projet Montréal, there was a recruiter from the NDP that was there. And he asked me, he says, would you be interested in being a candidate? And in my head, it just resonated. Yes. But I didn't say yes right away. I played hard to get, but actually he was desperate and I wanted it. I wanted to get to have people know about the NDP, that there was choices for Quebecers in the election of 2011, that there was this great party with social values, social programs, social issues that brought forward, and also environmental issues. I felt it was a great possibility for me.
So in a couple of minutes, because there's more parts of your story, but in a few minutes, like, how was that to get swept into federal politics, to suddenly, unexpectedly become a member of Canadian Parliament, to be in that chamber, part of a party, like all of that stuff? How was that?
It was, we couldn't believe it. Actually, I was walking with two of my colleagues towards Central Block, you know, when you arrive
in
Ottawa, in the parliament, through Central Block. And my colleague says, I can't believe that this is going to be my place of work for the next 4 years. And that's how it felt. We just couldn't believe it, because all of us had jobs. I was working full time for that nonprofit organization, and I couldn't leave right away because I didn't want to leave them like that. But at the same time, that was the beauty. We were hardly any of us were career politicians. We were just there for the cause. And that was the thing for me. I was totally there for the cause, and I wanted to do so well for my constituents, for Canada, I know it sounds a bit cliche, but that was it. That was it. That was the chance of all the things that I fought for, that everything that my life I felt was directing me towards that.
And as you said earlier, it was an opportunity to put ideas into action. That's what politics was. So how was it to put ideas into action? How easy or hard was it to do that?
actually, it's hard, but there are changes that happen. Even though we sometimes look at politics in not such a positive light, there's changes happen. There's legislations that go through. The thing is, when you are in the middle of it, you want changes to happen faster. You know, maybe in the back of your mind that your time there may be limited. That's what happened. Nevertheless, I find that it was an incredible opportunity. I had a great number of portfolio. I had a chance to meet a lot of Canadians. I had I understood a little bit better as well how it works. You know, it is something difficult to leave. I must say, it is something difficult to leave. I would have liked to have more time, but that's the way it is.
In that time, was that not also, I mean, Jack Layton died.
He
was the leader of the NDP.
Yes.
All of this change happened. You know, the NDP had so many seats in Parliament at that time. So how was that as the party was changing because of this personal situation with
exactly.
the leader?
Exactly. And a lot of people have forgotten that, is we lost our leader and also our mentor. There was 6 months. The leadership race was 6 months. That meant that we were playing for the Stanley Cup at the same time where our best players were all somewhere else. So I found that was a difficult time. And also, like you were mentioning, we were, a lot of us were newcomer to politics. So it was difficult, and I think it left some indelible scar that sort of made it difficult for us to overcome.
We could have another half an hour
on
that, and I think listeners are interested in that. And the career story continues. So
yes,
you talked a little bit right at the beginning of the interview about the grieving process after mm-hmm. having to leave politics. And then starting in 2015, it's the lead up to the new adventure.
Exactly.
So how did that go? What did you do? How did you kind of go through that process leading up to what you're doing now?
Yeah, so it's difficult. Like you say, you can take someone out of politics, you know, after the election, but you can never leave the politics, you know, it's still inside me. So I volunteered, stayed a little bit close to my local association, like the NDP local association, tried to help them. I participated in a political panel at the at one of the radio stations in Montreal, and I was looking for what do I do next. So I was looking. I have communication skills and things like that. So I was still in Montreal. And then my partner got transferred to Toronto. And I thought that was exciting. I thought that I had done everything I could do. I knew I was not going to run again. The municipal election was a little bit too close. There was a leadership race also at the municipal level, but it was too close. I was still in the grieving process. You cannot jump back. Although sometimes they say when you fall, you jump back on the horse, but it was too close. My feelings were not there, and I wouldn't have done it for the right reason. So to me, the transfer to Toronto was interesting and quite exciting, a new place, new energy. But I was still searching. And that's when we met in August, or I don't know. So we met, and together we started that conversation. Where do I go from here? I was 58, 59 when I met you. You know, with a resume that goes a little bit all over the place, all kinds of experience. And together we started that conversation.
So I should just clarify to listeners, right? So you've disclosed that we actually worked together because
yes.
I lead a team of career professionals. We have a career company called Career Cycles. And as in the capacity of a career professional, not as a radio host,
yes.
You and I had worked together. Right?
Yes.
So this is a kind of career, you know, career process, career management process, career counseling. And lots of people are not familiar with that at all. Like, I think career professionals fly under the radar screen. So, you know, if you could, if say as much or as little as you want, how was that process to go through that?
I needed someone that could understand my particular path. You know, my path that is not one path, but multiple path, and to sort of tie it together. Also, I was still going through the grieving process, so I needed someone that could understand that it was difficult for me to just jump back into something else. I didn't want to go back to what I, not that I didn't want to go back, but it was difficult for me to go back to what I had done, and I couldn't see at all where my skills could be put to service. And so I think together we examine, and I think that's one of the things, we examine the different possibility that I never thought about. Because sometimes when you sort of thinking that you are in one mold with one title and Hélène Leblanc is this, and then you kind of don't open yourself to other possibility. You feel that now that I had been, you know, in that incredible function as a member of parliament, I can't do this or that. So you kind of put yourself in boxes. And I think with you, we had this conversation and just opened the different possibility. And the longer we were having this conversation, what I realized is I would have to have my own enterprise. I don't see myself fitting in another organization. And it was not that you told me that. It was just my own reflection.
And this is what happens, right? For career professionals across Canada who are seeing clients, it's a kind of conversation, hopefully that's personalized, but has some structure to it, and then provides clarity on things like desires moving forward and skills that are transferable. And in this case, I think what you're saying is there was a desire to have autonomy, to have control, and to be kind of call the shots, be your own boss, like all these things that come up, and you start to see patterns. And so anybody who is having kind of career questions could go to any career professional and hopefully have a competent process that starts to surface these things. And from those, ideas emerge. Right? Possibilities emerge, right? And it's not that hard to generate those possibilities. You don't need one of those tests that tell you to be a funeral director
yes.
or whatever. You just need an organized conversation. And so as these desires or values emerge to be have autonomy and control, so what were the possibilities that emerged from that?
Well, there was this deadline that I had in my head, October 2017, it would have been 2 years that I would have been out of work. So I was kind of getting a little bit antsy. And that's when I took kind of a break. Like we had a couple of conversation. And then for the spring and the summer, I sort of let it settled and see what happened. But the more and more what I saw is I need to have my own business. So like I said to you, I think I can divulge it now, is I had a golden opportunity offered to me on a silver platter. Is the house that my partner has in Picton became vacant.
Picton is Picton, Ontario. It's
Picton,
in Prince
Ontario.
Edward County.
That's correct.
It's this lovely part of the province, just
exactly.
south of Belleville, Ontario. People go there for cycling, and there's the Sandbanks Provincial Park there. It's
exactly.
like a real destination. It's kind of like the new Niagara on the Lake because there's all these vineyards and wineries there.
And what is nice about Prince Edward County is they want to stay still the county. So it's a beautiful beautiful countryside agricultural area, which I love, and things like that. So the house became vacant, and my partner says, "Well, Hélène, you'll do a B&B with that." And it just said, yes. Again, those yes are great. You know, when you say yes to life, and that was the kind of the first time that it was just, it just made sense. And you know when it made sense. And it's after all those conversations that we had where I sort of was looking and looking and looking, but the conversation that we had together gave me back my confidence into being able to say yes to a possibility like that.
It's such a great story, you know, like, because the values and the desires and the clarity was there. And then when the opportunity comes, as it so often happens, people tend to say that was just chance or random. But it's like the opportunity that Alex said in that moment just fit like, you know, a hand in a glove. It just kind of fit there. And all these pieces converged to say yes.
Yes. And you know what also? It's because I didn't overanalyze. I didn't say, oh, well, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't, and all that. It just clear as a bell. It was just that. And I think that's the moment. And if it would have been earlier when I was in that fog, it wouldn't have fit. But this, it just fitted.
Beautiful. So I let listeners know if they want to find the B&B called Minister's House. So now how do they find that? Because you're just about to open, or you're opening this month or something.
That's right. We're opening this month. It's Minister's House B&B. And you just do minister, you just Google Minister's House B&B. We have the domain name. We checked if there was any other. And so people are saying, like, why is it called Minister's House? Well, it's because before it was, anyway, people will have to come and find out. It's in Picton, Prince Edward County, and it's open from May to November.
Awesome. You know, you've just told us all these twists and turns in your story, and it's such a fascinating story, and I really appreciate you sharing all of that, including the work we did together. What's one thing you can share with listeners about, you know, making choices, making difficult choices, making career choices, dealing, you've gone, you know, personal and professional you've shared with us. Is there one thing that might help listeners that you've learned personally about making these kind of tough choices?
I think one of the thing is open up. Open up. Don't isolate yourself, because it's very easy when that happened that you kind of go into the cocoon. I think it's important to seek help, from friends, to make sure that you go for coffee with friends, that you have your partner on board, that they know what you're going through, that they understand, that you seek professional help as well, like I did. I was very lucky to have been at a career cycle, because I think you need all that help, because your friend's going to be great support, but they cannot help you necessarily find your path. Get involved. I did a lot of great volunteering when I came to Toronto. So two great organizations, Women's Healthy Environments Network and also Sustainable Consultant Network. I had a great time. I felt rewarded working with those groups. And also, I did Toastmasters. So I was with Toastmasters. So be with people, take time to reflect, but make sure that you seek help and you talk to a lot of people.
Thank you for listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Find us on iTunes or visit careercycles.com/radio to subscribe and download past episodes. Get inspiring career stories full of twists and turns, actionable ideas from career experts, and new ideas to empower your own career in life.